All right, so this month, the month of August, we're starting a new series. And the series that we're looking at is that one that we put on the screen there. It's called The Return of the Lord and the Rapture of the Saints. So The Return of the Lord and the Rapture of the Saints. All right, so it's quite an important topic that we need to understand as believers for a number of reasons. The truth of the matter is this. At some point, you and I are going to depart from this world. And that's the truth of the matter. We are going to depart from this world. And you want to be sure that you know exactly what's awaiting you on the other side. Now, the return of the Lord tells us that, and I'll look at that in a moment. Jesus said he will come back. So it's either you depart from this world naturally, or Jesus comes back before you and I do, and he takes us away. Now, why is the return of the Lord and the rapture, why is it such an important topic? Now, it's looking at what happens after this world that we live in. What happens when you die? What happens when I depart? What has happened to the people that have gone and have left us here? So, in the context of this, today I'm looking at life after death, life after we depart this place. And I will set the tone today, and we'll just look at this as we go on in the next few Sundays till the end of the month. So there's so many theories about what happens when one, you know, dies or one departs from this world. There's some people who have said, there is reincarnation. So your behavior now will determine, reincarnation, which means you don't really die, you die and you come back and you're, you know, just going through the circle of life, they call it. And your behavior now, in that context, the reincarnation proposition, is that if you behave properly now, then you might come back as a human being. If you don't behave properly, you might come back as a goat or plant or something. So you better behave properly. Some people are like, look, when you're gone, you're gone. Nothing happens after death. You just lie down, you sleep, you close your eyes, and you just go back to dust. And that's the end of your life. So there's so many, many theories about, you know, what really happened. So it's a question that is pertinent to the, it's a question that's really pertinent to us. That at one point in time in our lives, we will think about it. Now, some people might be like, man, Pastor B, can't you tell us something slightly more, what's the name of that word? Tell us something slightly less serious. I'm young, I'm in my 20s, I'm in my 30s, I'm in my 40s. Ah, I know people who've lived up to 100 years, so I think I still have a lot of time, so that's not something I want to be concerned about. Really, I'll come to that in a moment. So I'm going to look at 3 points this morning under this new topic that we're looking at. And I'll take my first text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. But before I take that portion of scripture, what we want to look at over the next few weeks is, what did Jesus say about his return? When we say the rapture of the saints, what does rapture mean in context? What does that mean? When is Jesus coming back? Is Jesus coming back? How about those who have gone? How about we who remain? What is all that about? That's what we're going to be looking at. But today, I will start with the question of life after death. And I'll make 3 points this morning, sort of like as an introduction, as we go along with this topic. So, the first thing is the question of life after death. So you had Paul was in, Paul was right, Paul the Apostle, he was writing to the Thessalonians, and they were really concerned. And they were asking him a few questions. Maybe some of them had aunties, uncles, friends that had passed as Christians. And they were asking him, what happens to these people? What's going to happen to them? Where are they? We are missing them so much. What do we do about this matter? Then Paul writes back to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 17. He says to them, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So, Paul the apostle was telling them that, look, something is going to happen. We don't know when. We'll look at that in more detail. Jesus is going to return. He could return tomorrow, today, next week, next year. And what will happen is that when Jesus returns, he will come in the clouds. We will just see him all of a sudden. And it says when that happens, those who died in Christ, those who were believers, wherever they might have been buried, wherever they passed away, it says they will rise up first of all. And when they rise up from wherever they've been buried, they will rise up, they will be given a new body, and they will meet Jesus in the clouds. He now goes on to say that we that are left, that are believers as well, will be caught up. And we will join, we'll float into heaven, and we will meet with Jesus. Then Jesus will take us away. So he was using this to comfort them, to say, look, there is life beyond what we see now. There is life after death. And if Jesus comes back before you and I die physically, then we will meet him in the air. You know, this thing about the end times, I wouldn't recommend this too much. If you go to YouTube and you type end time, man, there's so many theories. There was this group of people in the States, and their leader said the world is going to end in, I think it was, he said 1960-something. He gave a particular date that Jesus was coming back. So his congregation, this congregation, they sold everything they had, sold their houses, sold their cars, gave up their job. People were like, why are you doing all this? Jesus is coming in 1963 or 53, August 10th. I don't remember the date that this leader said, and they were waiting in the church congregation, and the time came and nothing happened. Man, I wonder what happened to that pastor. There's so many theories about the coming of Jesus and all that. People are like, a lot of things. So what we want to do is, we want to look at it from a biblical perspective, not a conspiracy theorist perspective. I remember I watched this film, Part 1, 2, and 3. I've forgotten the name of the film. Basically, it was just depicting the coming of Jesus and the rapture. And they showed this, there was this scene in a plane. And if you're flying soon, you know, don't worry about what I'm about to say. And as they were flying in the plane, in this film, they showed a man and a woman sitting down, and everybody was, you know, serving. They were, you know, on the plane and all that. And suddenly, this woman looked beside her, and she saw that the person beside her had disappeared. It was just his clothes that were there. One of the pilots disappeared as well. People were disappearing. It was in America. On the highway, they just saw cars crashing into trees. They saw people were just disappearing. Everybody was panicking. They probably thought it was like some sort of like alien attack or something. People were disappearing. And I said, my goodness, so this is what it's going to look like. Where we'll be in church one day and all of us will disappear. Amen. All of us. So, there's so many theories about this afterlife thing, you know what I mean? But Paul was telling the Thessalonians here that, look, I know you're concerned about what will happen in the future. You probably have lost loved ones. Are you going to see them again? And he was comforting them to remind them that Jesus is coming back. And that if peradventure we had passed on before Jesus came back, or before Jesus comes back, everyone that died in Christ will rise up. So there is a life after this life that we're living. So we're looking at the question of what happens after life. And Paul was comforting the people to tell them that, look, there is a life after this one that we can look forward to. So it's not the end. You and I will not just close our eyes and that's the end of the matter. So Paul was telling them this, that Jesus was going to come back. Then if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 54 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 54. It says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself in imperishable, mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come to true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So, still on the first point about life, death after life, Paul reiterates the same to the same thing to the Corinthians, but at the end, he also makes a comment here. Well, not a comment. He makes a point at the end that death has been overcome. We were just singing a song now, you know, we've already won, got a revival. And in that song, it says death has been overcome. So death is the thing that scares everybody. It scares celebrities, rich, poor, happy. So death scares everybody. It's just something that people don't have a solution to. There are people who have been so well, who are so wealthy, and they're like, when I die, freeze my body in this thing so that if there's something that is discovered that can cause you to come back to life or cause you not to, you know? So everybody's, not everybody, most people are like, man, if I could just understand what this death thing or when it's going to happen. And all, so death is a problem that doesn't respect anybody at all. But Paul says here that death has been overcome by Jesus. And he reassures them as well again that, look, don't worry. There is no issue with death. Death has been overcome. That there is life after this life that we're living now. And he makes that point to them to comfort them. Do you understand? He makes that point to comfort them. Now, oh man, it's like when you start talking about death and all those things, like, oh my goodness, this is Pastor B trying to scare us this morning. Not really. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just putting this these things forward. So the first point there is that he comforts them. He reassures them that this is not the end. And I'll look at a few points in a moment. I've been with people who maybe, not even maybe, that have passed. And, you know, sometimes you observe the last moments of people. And at that point, there's the huge impression that's made on you. in the context of what life is really about, in the context of what is really important in life. It's at that point you now realize that, hang on, all these things I was fretting about, even though they were important, they're not really that important in the context of life and death. Do you understand? It gives you perspective. And it is at that point that you and I will really know what it is that we believe. It's at that point that the words of Paul, the apostle here, through the Holy Spirit, well, by the Holy Spirit, will come alive in the context of that person. Do you understand? So, Paul, the apostle, you know, in this context, reminds the Thessalonians, he also reminds the Corinthians as well, that, look, death has been overcome. Death has been overcome. And that's the reality of it. I remember, I mean, for me, this is like a really personal thing, and I'll go to the next point. Well, a bit sad, but the reality of life as well. I remember about 4.5 years ago when my late wife passed. And I was with her in the hospital, just me and her. And she wasn't, you know, she'd gone through a number of things, so she wasn't well. And it got to the point where it was like, look, you know, so many things happened. And I was sitting with her. This is someone that I grew up with, kind of. I met her when I was like, what, young 20-something-year-old guy. So we had kind of like grown up together, trotted around the globe together, done so many things together. And she was there. And it got to the point where it was like, look, if Jesus doesn't do something now, or in this context, I'm gone. And she looked at me in the eyes and she said, look, Pastor B, I was sitting there. She said, look, I've done all I have known to do in life. I've done my best. That's what she said. She said, I've done my best. Our kids, I've done my best with them. The business I wanted to do, I've done my best with that. Everything that I wanted to do, I've done my best. And you know what, Pastor B? You know what she told me? She said, I am good. I know exactly where I'm going. That's what she told me. And I looked at her. You know, I'm like, Pastor. She said, Pastor B, I'm good. I know where I'm going. Do you understand? And I'm good. And she looked at me. So how do you respond to that kind of thing? I said, oh, this is quite interesting. And she looked at me and she just said, I'm good. And she relaxed. So I was just like, man, this is quite interesting. So I asked myself the question. I said, in the face of death, would I be able to take this kind of stand as well? Would I be bold enough and calm enough to just say, you know what? I'm going to meet Jesus and I am good. Is that the response that I would have? And it just did something to me. That moment did something to me. It made me realize that, oh my goodness, this life is a serious business. And what's really important is our realization of where we're going, our realization with Christ. She said some other things. She said, look, I know I've annoyed you before. I mean, so she would say something about annoying me. I said, me too, I've annoyed you a few times, but that's, you know. But what she was just saying was like, look, I am going to meet Jesus. So the question that we have for ourselves this morning is this. You know, at that point, I'm sorry if I'm making you guys feel a bit sober this morning. All the arguments she had with her co-workers, the people that annoyed her at work, the time that, you know, someone said something rude to her, the time that she was doing something with her business that didn't work out, the time that, and all those things, at that point, it didn't matter at all. It did not. So Paul was telling the people here that, look, there is life. Jesus is coming back for you and I. Jesus is coming back for you and I. I remember I was on a flight once. This was a long time ago in a West African country. And we got into this plane. Man, those planes, that was a long time ago. It was like World War II planes. You know those rackety planes? And when the plane all sat there in the plane, then as we're flying, turbulence started. Ah, man, I don't think I've ever experienced this kind of turbulence before. And the plane, in my opinion, wasn't in good condition. I don't even know how that they allowed that plane to fly. It wasn't in good, if you ask me, I'm not the pilot. It wasn't in good condition at all. Then turbulence hit. Oh, the plane dropped like that. My heart was in my mouth. And it started all the, all the people who were like, a lot of the people in the plane were like, can I sit there? Would you pass me a glass of water, please? Would you what's on the menu? What's on the menu? I'm not quite sure I'm gonna have that one. Everybody began to scream. And excuse me, I'm not making fun of anybody here. The people that were praying, the people that were sitting there, that Christianity thing, I'm not quite sure about that, blah, blah, blah. No problem. People, God, save us, help us. It wasn't funny, by the way. And I was like, wow, this is like proper panic here. And then we landed safely. But what I was just saying is that there are times that when we're faced with death, then our true feelings come out. Do you get what I mean? So Paul was encouraging these people that there is something and that Christ is coming back. Now, point number two this morning, Jesus himself said he's coming back. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says that Jesus said, look, I am coming back. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. If you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 11, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead and he was speaking to his disciples, he was with them, he told them a lot of things, then he was taken to heaven. And as he was being taken to heaven, an angel appeared to them and he said, this Jesus that you see being taken into heaven is going to come back the same way. He's going to come back the same way. So the second point here is that Jesus himself said it, that he's coming back. He's coming back for you and I. He's coming back for you and I. If you're alive when Jesus comes back, you will meet him. If you're not, maybe 100 years from now, you will rise up to meet him. Do you understand? So this brings me to the final point that I'm going to make this morning, and we'll carry on next week. So Jesus begins to make an analogy that before he returns, what is the world going to look like? What are we going to be doing? And he takes a snapshot of what the world will be doing, what a lot of us might be doing as well. And he says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, and he said, this is what things are going to look like before Jesus returns, just before he returns. Matthew chapter 24, 37 to 39 says, for as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It says, in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So the final point this morning is, what will the world look like? What will things look like? And Jesus himself gives us a snapshot. And the summary of what Jesus was saying here is this. It will be business as usual for us. Everything will look like normal. People will go to work, go to school. People will be getting married. People will be eating and drinking. People will go on field trips. People will have barbecues and all these things. So Jesus says that it's going to be like a normal everyday thing. There are some signs that we'll begin to see. I will look at that next time. But basically for you and I, it's going to be business as usual. We're just going to be going about our normal daily things. Do you understand? So that's what he said. But he now makes an interesting point here, which is something that we need to take to heart. It says, it is possible that we normalize life so much, we go about our normal daily business, which is expected, but there is the possibility that you and I will let that override our relationship with Christ. It says that's the danger. So the danger is that you and I can be so overwhelmed with our daily, all the things we're doing daily, and we neglect our relationship with Christ. I'm not saying abandon, but neglect. Why? Because we're so busy. For good reason. I was telling someone that I think I'm the busiest person I know so far that I know. And at one point, I really had to like pull myself by the ears and say, look, you need to take things easy, Pastor B. You need to take things easy. There was a particular time that, I mean, apart from being a pastor of this church, I work full time. I do, I just like love to do so many things. I do video shoots and editing. I do graphic design. I do so many things, actually. There are people that I do work for as well. They'd be like, oh, can you help us do this? No problem. Can I? You know, to the point that on a daily basis, I would be sleeping maybe 2-3 hours. I'll be awake till morning sometimes. There was one time I was awake for about 2 days because I was trying to get the job done and some other things. And I told myself, I said, look, Pastor B, you cannot continue like this. You can't. So what am I saying? I'm just saying that none of us is excluded from this, from the busyness of life. We're not. No one is excluded from it. However, Jesus makes the point here that, look, you and I would have to pinch ourselves sometimes. I meant that metaphorically, so I don't want anybody going to pinch anyone and say, Pastor, say, pinch yourself, you know. No, don't pinch anyone, please. Metaphor. We have to like pinch ourselves so that we are conscious to the fact that Jesus is calling for our attention. Jesus wants you and I to spend time with him. Jesus wants you and I to, you know, prioritize our lives in the context of the church. Do you understand? He wants you and I to prioritize him. He wants us to tell people that there is hope. He wants us to tell people that, look, there is comfort in Christ. After this world, after this life, there is something after this life. And in this life, you have hope because Jesus is here with you. We had a barbecue thing here yesterday, and quite a few people came that are not part of this church. In fact, I was a bit surprised. I'm like, how can you be surprised, Pastor? Weren't you expecting people to come? I was, you know, But I think sometimes you're on autopilot, like, okay, people will come. And right at the bang of two, you know, I saw there was a family that came. They came in like Irish, like a family of about 6-7 people. I was like, where are you guys from? I think that their dad, the guy was such a funny guy, said, oh, we've come to support you. We're from Ireland. I said to him, oh, you're my Irish man. So I just battering with him. I'd never met them before. True. They came. There's some other people that came as well. I was talking to someone and she was like, I was welcoming everybody. I was talking to someone, I said, can I'm not gonna say their gender, you know, politically correct. Can they talk with me? Oh, I said, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, let's chat. I said, okay, they want to smoke. I said, you can't smoke, in the premises, but let's go by the side. So do I mind? I said, don't worry about that. It's not good for your health though, but let's go by the side. So it's true. The Irish guy said, Pastor, I need a smoke as well. But I said, don't worry. Let's go to the side together. Are you laughing? I was like, man, I hope this, when I come back, people will say, Pastor, I've gone to smoking in the back. So as we stood there and this person was smoking, I was like, okay, let me stand by the wind so the wind will. But that's not even the thing. So I stood with, some of these folks, and they were asking me real life questions about life, about church. One person I spoke to said, they're a witch, they're pagan, that they don't believe in anything, that they do witchcraft and they're pagan. I'm not going to say their gender. I said, oh, really? Okay, I said, that's quite interesting. I mean, why? why witchcraft and all that? And they were like, I listened, and they explained a number of things that I'm not going to go into all that. I said, but then I said, okay, but however, they think that, there's something with this Jesus thing that they would like to know more so they can, compare it with paganism and witchcraft. I said, yeah, I think you should do that. You should do that. They said, they're not in church. I said, okay, you can have my number. Anytime you're free, let's catch up. Do you understand? So I was jumping up and down, having this kind of conversations. People told me all sorts of things. I'm telling you. I was like, man, shouldn't I just be relaxing, having a barbecue thing here? There are people that, there was someone else that told me, some of them really heartbreaking. So what am I saying here? Whilst all of you were having chicken and all that yesterday, I was on that bee, and you know what? I absolutely loved it. But what am I saying here? I'm saying here that, look, people are looking for something. People are looking for something. People are looking for answers. And these answers can be found in Christ. But if we are not there to answer these questions, how will they know? How would they know? And I was just saying to myself yesterday, when we put on all these events that we put on, yes, we put them on because as a church, we want to relax, we want to enjoy all the barbecue skills of everyone. But it's also an opportunity for people who maybe would never ordinarily come to a church service like this, just to come, jump on the bouncy castle, and ask the questions that they have. Jesus said he's coming back. In Christ, there are answers to the questions in the hearts of people, particularly about what happens when we die. People have loads of questions. Paul was answering these questions. Do you understand? So I'm going to end here. So today I've just introduced this, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the question of life after death, how Paul encouraged the people in Thessalonica then, that look, guys, don't worry. There's something beyond this life. The people who have gone ahead of us, they will rise when Christ comes, and we will meet Christ if we're around. The second thing I looked at was the fact that Jesus specifically said he's coming back. And the third was that Jesus said that before he comes back, it will be business as usual for us. However, we need to make time for Christ in our lives and make time to tell people about Christ, because people are looking for answers. Do you understand? That can be found in Christ. This morning, let us pray. I'm going to ask that we rise for those who are able to. So, for us this morning, it's just a time to reflect that, look, there is more to life than just going to work, going to school. All those things are important. We have aspirations, we have dreams, there are things that we want to do that are valid. And all that is fine. But we need to put that in context, that look, there is something that is more important. And that is our relationship with Christ and life forever after this place that we're in. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just ask that God will just really open our hearts to understand the importance of our relationship with Christ. So that's the first one. And the second one is that God should help us to be available to people who have questions about Christ so that we can give people the hope that Jesus gives us, irrespective of where they are. Do you understand? Without judgment. So this morning, let's pray.